light and darkness. One cancels the other out. There can be no darkness whilst there is light. Darkness cannot consume light, well, at least not on its own. The Word is in the world. The world cannot consume the Word. Of course, many have tried and many have failed. The Word, God, Jesus, Spirit, Creator, Teacher, Shaker, Father, Son, Holy, Mother, Child, Breath. The world has tried, the world has failed. The Word shines and goes on shining. Darkness is no match. Well, good morning, everyone, and a very happy new year to you all. If I've not had a chance to say that to you already this morning, it's lovely to see you all here today, and a warm welcome to anyone listening online and or by CD. You are very welcome to. The order of service has some intimations. The thing's just getting going. There's not so much to intimate this coming week, but some of the usual things get going, and there's notification about them there. Next Saturday night, we have the first of our film shows for the year, and we'll be showing the film Stan and Ollie, which is a lovely little movie about the lives of Stan and Ollie, yeah. So you're very welcome, 7 o'clock next Saturday night along at the Kirk Centre. See, there's not just a huge amount there to notify you of. One just thing that occurred to me just as I was sitting, just in case you weren't here over the season, we did have retiring offerings over the Christmas period, and we took in about £1,100 and our retiring offerings, which will get split between the charities that were chosen, which is just fantastic. It had a great response from folks, so that was very, very welcome. We are here to worship on this first Sunday of 2020. May we find the Word that is the first of all words, the Word that holds every word. May we speak that word and let it shape in love. May we reimagine that word within the living and the lives of each and other, and may we gather round that word, the word that gathers us, names us, comes among us, and calls it his own. We stand to sing 543, Longing for Light.
Thank you.
Let's come to God in prayer. Creator God, into the void you breathed life. From darkness and uncertainty, the world was born. We give thanks for Jesus coming into our world, a light that shone in the darkness and continues to do so today. O God, we praise you that your light came into the darkness, speaking truth and sharing love. Into the silence you put words of comfort to the distressed, promise to the poor, forgiveness to the lost. Into the silence you put words of joy which have overcome fear, life which has defeated death, hope which has removed despair. We recognize there have often been times when our words have failed us, when we've been too quick to put down rather than build up. We have criticized rather than supported, and we seek your forgiveness. As we seek to bring your words alive in our world, may we hear your word of love, and may your light be our guide, illuminating our worship and guiding our steps. And hear us as we say together the words of the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Did you know we've got a church mouse? Willie's just kind of sat up straight there in a wee bit of a panic. We've got a wee church mouse, and his name's Mitchell. Did you know that? Have you ever seen Mitchell? Has anybody ever seen Mitchell? Willie, have you seen Mitchell? Anyway, I've got a little wee story about Mitchell Mouse that I want to share with you. The other day, I came into the church and I found bits of words lying around the church. So I said, Mitchell, what are you doing? And he said, well, Minister, I'm making words. What kind of words? I asked him. Mice words, he replied. Is that a special kind of language, Mitchell? I asked him. It's like French or German that you do at schools, only this is mice language, said Mitchell in a teacher-like manner. And who speaks this mice language, I asked. Mice. Well, I guess that makes sense. It makes sense that mice have their own language. Do you think so, Freya? Do you think mice have their own language? Yeah, I think you're very wise. Well, anyway, so I asked Mitchell, what does it sound like? And he said, it sounds a bit squeaky. It sounds a bit squeaky, I said. Yes, you know, squeak, 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 said Mitchell. Well, what does that mean? I asked Mitchell. It means, how are you? Right, and how would I reply in mice language? Mitchell told me he would say, squeak, 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 squeak. And what does that mean? I asked him. It means, I'm fine, thank you. Well, I replied, it sounds like every word is the same. Ah, yes, he told me. But each squeak sounds slightly different from another squeak. The tones and the way you squeak make sense to other mice. Really? Yes, Minister, every squeak has a meaning. Why is that? I asked. Well, you see, in the beginning, there was the squeak. The squeak? Yes, Minister, the squeak. So your squeak, Mitchell, is the first word and every word. Oh, you're a clever minister, Mitchell told me. So your squeak, the word, sounds a bit like the writer of John's Gospel. That's right. Our squeak is like your word. It means God, the one who makes everything in the world, even we mice. Wow, I never knew that.
So at the beginning of the world, your ancestors were there and made the word of God come alive in your own language. And Mitchell said, yes, we certainly did. Oh, there you go. The word according to the mouse. Wee Mitchell Mouse. And I bet you're all going to be keeping an eye out for Mitchell from now on, aren't you? Yeah. You'll just keep a wee eye out. And if you see him, talk to him. He likes a wee conversation. Hey, do you like mice, Freya? Yeah, you keep an eye out for Mitchell. Right, okay. Well, we're going to sing another little song. We're going to sing Christ is the Light. As Christ is our light, the bright and morning star, hymn 336.
Reading today comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 7 to 14. The Lord says, "Sing with joy for Israel, the greatest of the nations. Sing your songs of praise. The Lord has saved his people. He has rescued all who are left. I will bring them from the north and gather them from the ends of the earth. The blind and the lame will come with them, pregnant women and those about to give birth. They will come back a great nation. My people will return weeping, praying as I led them back. I will guide them to streams of water, on a smooth road where they will not stumble. I am like a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my eldest son." The Lord says, "Nations, listen to me and proclaim my words on the far-off shores. I scattered my people, but I will gather them and guard them as a shepherd guards his flock. I have set Israel's peoples free and have saved them from a mighty nation. They will come and sing for joy on Mount Zion and be delighted with my gifts, gifts of corn and wine and olive oil, gifts of sheep and cattle. They will be like a well-watered garden. They will have everything they need. Then the girls will dance and be happy, and men, young and old, will rejoice. I will comfort them and turn their mourning into joy, their sorrow into gladness. I will fill the priests with the richest food and satisfy all the needs of my people. I, the Lord, have spoken." The second reading today comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Before the Word was created, the Word already existed. He was with God, and he was the same as God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never been put out. God sent his messenger, a man named John, who came to tell people about the light, so that all should hear the message and believe. He himself was not the light. He came to tell about the light. This was the real light, the light that comes into the world and shines on all mankind. The Word was in the world, and though God made the world through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own country, but his own people did not receive him. Some, however, did receive him and believed in him. So he gave them the right to become God's children. They did not become God's children by natural means, that is, by being born as the children of a human father. God himself was their father. The Word became a human being, and full of grace and truth, lived among us. We saw his glory, the glory which he received as the Father's only Son. John spoke about him. He cried, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'He comes after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born.' Out of the fullness of his grace, he has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. God gave the law through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side. He made him known." Thanks to God for these readings from his holy word.
Thank you to Emily for multitasking this morning. We'll give you just a few minutes, seconds to get yourself comfortable before we stand again to sing our hymn 356, Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity, in Perfect Harmony, the Man Who Is God. Hymn 356.
Meekness and majesty, manhood and dignity, in perfect harmony.
In the beginning, the Word had already spoken what had been. The universe understood its meaning. Nature recognized its tone. Life and energy responded to its sound. And so our story was birthed through the ecstasy of creation and the agony of love. In the beginning, the Word had already declared what was to be, yet blindness did not see it. Ignorance could not discern it. Hostility refused to accept it. And so our story was lived through the suffering of a son and the heartache of a father. In the beginning, the Word spoke clear and true of what is, and a weeping woman heard it. A people failed to suppress it. A world is yet to receive it. And so our story begins again and again and again with a word. The prologue, the opening words of John's Gospel, are words that resonate throughout Advent and the Christmas season. And today is not the first time you will have heard them in the last month. They are among some of my favourite words in the Bible. And wonderful, wonderful words to begin a new year with. It is simply fabulous to be reminded right at the beginning of a new year that in the beginning was the Word, a source of life and a life that brought light which the darkness has never managed to put out. And there's a huge similarity and resonance between the beginning of John's Gospel and that of the very beginning of the Bible in the opening words of Genesis. So let's hear a few verses from there. In the beginning, when God created the universe, the earth was formless and desolate. The raging ocean that covered everything was engulfed in total darkness, and the Spirit of God was moving over the water. Then God commanded, "Let there be light," and light appeared. And here again, the opening words of John's Gospel. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life. And this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. God was in the beginning. He brought light. The Word was with God, the source of life and light. There's that expression that describes the Bible as the Word. We often refer to it as the Word of God, and in worship we give the Word a prominent place. It's carried in and placed on this pulpit lectern each Sunday. But not just placed in it, it's opened. And for me, there's something very symbolic about the Word being open for the duration of worship. The words are right at the heart of our worship. And in effect, what I try to do, granted sometimes more successfully than others, is to open up the Word for you, to you, to give you some insight and explanation as to what the Word is saying to us here in this parish, here at this time. Over and over again, I'm taken aback by how ancient words, millennia-old words, can still have something to say to us today. The Word is as relevant today as it was when it was first recorded. The Word. The Bible is a collection of texts split into two parts, the Old and the New Testaments, the before Jesus and the after Jesus. But I don't know about you, but when I hear words of the prophets, and especially the passages that we heard throughout Advent, talking to us about the birth of a Saviour, pinpointing where he will be born and to whom, it never fails to move me. These words were written many centuries before Jesus was born. These were the texts that the Jewish people were using in worship and were teaching centuries before Jesus' birth. The Word was with God. The Word was God. the source of light that brought light to people. Now, in approaching the word, we read it through many different lenses. We read it, first of all, through the lens that is our own experience. How has it been preached or taught to us throughout our lives? How have we read it or studied it? Not everyone has the opportunity that I had to immerse myself in theological and biblical studies for 3 years. But can I let you into a secret? No one at university told us what to think about what the Bible said. Not one of my excellent lecturers provided definitive thinking on what the word contains. Rather, we were taught how to read the word through different lenses, how to contextualize the words that we studied. These words are not just black marks on a page and lifeless. They have history, culture, and some of the words were written for a particular set of people. To read the words of the Bible and to keep them static and not to explore beyond them is to suck all life out of them and often miss what they're really saying to us today. And this, of course, is where difficulties can begin. Because when you start to read the various Bible commentaries, listen to different preachers, you begin to hear different interpretations and often quite polarized expressions of what the word is saying. And so we end up with different ideas about many of the teachings of the Bible. The most headline, ongoing, current debate seems to be about homosexuality. But the same debate has been had and continues in some quarters to be had about women in ministry, about divorce, and a myriad of other topics. And people can get quite heated about them all. But I've said this before, and I will keep on saying it. There is a gospel imperative above about loving your neighbour and loving God that rises up above all of these things. There is an imperative in our reading of the word this morning. The darkness has never been put out, put out the light. I love the Bible, and I love these imperatives about what is, and that's what I love about it, because they are timeless. They have stood the test of time and will continue to do so. Whatever your approach to the Bible is, these two imperatives, love God, love your neighbour, and how the darkness has never put out the light, these will hold fast. But what are we to do with them? What are we to do with the word? There's a famous saying that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But I think we all know that that's untrue. I doubt there's not anyone here who has not been hurt by the words of others at some time in their life. And often even the most well-meaning of words can hurt us to the core. So how do our words reflect the word? In our day-to-day interactions with people, either at home or in the workplace or in whatever activity we're taking part in, how do the words we say affect those around us? Our English language and indeed our dialects are both colourful with words for all kinds of situations with all kinds of meanings. But do we use them for good? Or are we guilty of letting words do damage? Do we use words to uplift or to knock down? Do we use words to heal or to wound? Do we use words to let the light shine or allow the darkness to cloud over? The word. The Bible contains all kinds of words. There are passages in the Bible that would give us be given a certificate 18 rating for violence or because of their sexual content if they were ever made into a film. But the vast majority of the words are words that are there for the good, to uplift, to heal, and to let the light shine. We sang Christ is our light earlier in the service, a simple yet powerful song. Christ is the light of the world. Our task in the here and now is simple and challenging. It is to let the Christ light shine into the world today. That is what being disciples of Christ means and requires. It is a challenge for all of us to let the light of Christ shine in our own lives. If we don't, then how can we expect to be able to attract people to a life with Christ? If people can't see the light shining through the darkness, then what will attract them to be part of a community of faith? I recently spoke to someone who'd been struggling a bit with their faith and encouraged them not to give up, because God never gives up on us. The light still shines. The Word made flesh in Jesus Christ still loves us, still loves the world, still has work to be done, and still needs us to do the work. We can be the Word incarnate in the world today. In our lives, in our words and actions, we can speak up for the Word. We can be life-breathing people of grace and truth, letting the light shine brightly. So here's a challenge for us all, a New Year's resolution, if you like. How about we begin this new year making a bigger effort at being the light that is Jesus, to use our words more carefully? My mum has a saying that goes, if you can't say something nice, then don't say anything at all. In our interactions with family and friends, at work, and even in our church activities, be aware of how your words might come across. Are they words that build up or knock down? Are they words that wound or do they heal? Are they words that let the light shine or the darkness cloud over? And similarly with our actions, they should be for the good. All the fine words in the world mean nothing if our actions speak louder, because those actions are counter to our words. As we move into a new year together, I am excited about the future, about the opportunities ahead for us as a church to let the Word shine. This coming year will not be without its challenges. As the draft presbytery plan becomes a draft no more, but a roadmap for the coming years, as the church nationally continues its path of reform, things will become different for all of us. We are, relatively speaking, a big parish doing some fantastic work in our community and supporting people further afield. But we can be doing more, and we can be doing them more effectively. But that means sharing the load, allowing people to use their skills and talents effectively, enabling everyone to let the Word shine through them. Sticks and stones do break bones. The Word made flesh was lifted up on a cruel stick, and impossibly that deathly place was where the light shone in darkness and was not put out. Words can hurt, but the Word never hurts us. Eugene Peterson has a beautiful way of putting some of the opening words of John's Gospel, and he writes, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. John pointed him out and called, 'This is the one I told you was coming after me, but in fact was ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me. He has always had the first word.' We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift. We got the basics from Moses, and then this exuberant giving and receiving, this endless knowing and understanding. All this came through Jesus, the Messiah. No one has ever seen God, not so much as a glimpse, this one-of-a-kind God expression who exists at the very heart of the Father has made him plain as day." Let us together in 2020 help the Word move back into the neighbourhood. Let us together go into 2020 and keep this light shining. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Amen. We continue our worship through our offering. Let us pray. Living Word, we come to you, the source of all that is, with reverence and joy, knowing that in your presence we find life in all its rich fullness. We come as your children, seeking to live into your Word and committing ourselves into service through our time and talents, our resources and zeal, wanting to make a difference in our community and church, for the sake of your kingdom. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. Time to sing again. This time our hymn is 540. I heard the voice of Jesus say.
Thank you.
We turn again to God in prayer with our prayers for the world. Let us pray. Hear our prayers, O God, as we hear your call. If only the world heard your voice, listened to your words of love clearly, recognized its truth and responded. But as we seek to do so, give us the strength to be your voice in this world. Hear us, O God of inspiration. We pray for this world of so much violence and no solution, so much that has been done rightly or wrongly, and a fear and a panic that no solution can be found. Hear us, O God of peace. For those who find prejudice a way of life, we pray. For those who are trapped and caught in conflict, seeing no way out. For those who have been displaced, living in a foreign land away from family. And for those living with decisions made and those making decisions for the future, we pray. Hear us, O God of grace. For all forms of prejudice, for folk who physically or emotionally build walls, we pray that their walls will be knocked flat. For those who live with an extreme view of religion, for those who are self-interested, and for those who live a life which dehumanizes others, we pray that they might find the darkness of their thoughts illuminated by your light and ways to share in the grace and compassion of your living word. Hear us, O God of love. In this, the day of words, inspire and guide us that we never hinder anyone coming to you by what we say, and remember that we are all part of your family. Bring us together as a loving community for all, that we may learn from each other as we walk side by side in faith. Hear us, God of all generations. We pray for all those who work with and support children and young people, for those of all ages who give their time and talents and love to create places in schools, communities, and churches that can be the foundation of growth, confidence, and relationship with you. Hear us, O God of nurture. And today we pray for Australia. Our hearts cry out to you for those who have lost loved ones and those who have lost properties in the wake of the raging fires. Guard those volunteer rural fire service personnel and emergency services who selflessly step into the breach to fight these fires. Guide police and authorities who help evacuate and shelter those who are displaced. Bring comfort and healing to all who suffer loss. Hear us, O God of creation. And for ourselves, for those who are our family and friends, for those we know who are ill and those recovering from ill health, those who are lonely, anxious, confused or stressed, and for those who bring colour back to life, we pray, hear us, O God of compassion. Lord, hear all our prayers in your name. Amen. Before we sing our final hymn, Adam, who's here this morning, told me last Sunday that this would be his last Sunday with us. I know, that was my response. So I want to just take a wee moment on behalf of all of us, Adam, to wish you well on your return to Poland. It's been lovely that you've come and been part of our community. You've brought your talents to us when you've sung for us so wonderfully so many times, and for that we're grateful. But we do wish you and your wife a safe journey, and I hope that life settles down again for you in Poland and you continue to find ways to serve others. You've been a very, very good part of our community here. So I think we maybe send Adam on with a wee round of applause.
Dear brothers and sisters, it was a very difficult decision for me, but my wife here not feel well. She lost her energy, her power, and we take decision, we have to go to Poland back. And you were for me like extension of my family. I feel very good here between you, and you will be forever in my heart, in my memory. And I believe that we are meet in the future, maybe.
Let's stand to sing, and let's raise our voices in singing our final hymn, 458, At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow, hymn 458. May the word of God breathe in you this year. May the love of God enliven you this year. May the peace of God shape you this year. And may the presence of God be your companion this year, and the days be filled with wonder and hope. And the blessing of God, Creator, beloved Sustainer, be with you and all those that you love, today and always.